Good evening and welcome to Home Group. My name is Greg Stevens. It is Wednesday evening right here in Fort Worth, Texas. We are live tonight and it is a little cooler than it normally is in Texas. Some people will tell you it's just downright cold. I don't know where it is, where you are, but here it's a little cooler than normal. I kind of like it. I don't know why we're in the other, not in the other room, because the other room has a fireplace.
Yes.
But here we are, and I'll introduce the panel to you in just a moment. But I want to let you know that Home Group is about you. And we open the Word of God concerning a topic that you send in. And I have an iPad in front of me. And if you're on Facebook, welcome those of you watching us live on Facebook. You can just type your question in immediately. It'll come right to me here. If you want to get a question or a comment in, the information is right there on the screen. Ask homegroup at govictory.com, or you can text it to 682-302-1301.
682-302-1301.
Okay, I just was seeing if you guys were still with me or not.
We're with you.
It is wonderful to hear and meet you guys. Tonight, we're going to be talking about a really interesting subject. It should get fun tonight. We're talking about judgmental, critical, and suspicious minds.
Mm.
Hello.
My.
It's a topic that you sent in. But before I do that, we've been running into people that are partners and different ones that watch Home Group, and you guys have been sending in videos. We encourage you to do that as well. And here is a couple and what they had to say about your Home Group they watch every week. Here you are. Watch.
It's inspirational, and I get fed. I'm a man that needs to get fed, so Home Group is very educational, and it's also very inspiring.
It's down to earth, and it meets today's issues. It meets people right where they are to help them, to bring them from there, to encourage them, to give them hope, because some of them have no hope, and they need hope.
Yes,
and this is why it's so good, you know. And it's normal people like them, that they can identify with, you know.
So she said normal people.
Normal.
That's a good way to describe us.
Way to describe us. So before I begin, let me introduce you, everybody. To my right is my wife, Michelle.
Hello.
And Cynthia, one of the least normal people.
The least normal one here.
And then right next to her, and she's been absent for a while,
my
and they have asked
here.
About you.
Yes.
Well, good. Miss Annette. Yeah. Is with us again.
So glad to be back.
I'm so glad you are back.
I am so glad to be back.
And Jim Talbot is with us.
Good to be here.
I didn't even miss
you. I was waiting for it.
Mr. So, Talbot.
And you. Welcome. We're so glad you're with us. Have you heard about the power of positive thinking? Have you ever wondered if choosing to be positive would make a difference in your life? Positive thinking is not just some woo-woo new age thinking. It's something that's been around for a very, very long time. In fact, the Bible has a lot to say about this topic. This timeless and scientifically proven wisdom can and will change your life. Man. Not only does negative thinking attract negativity, it also causes you to behave in ways that you would not had you chosen differently. Proverbs 15:4, the New Living Translation says, "Gentle words are a tree of life. A deceitful tongue crushes the spirit." Words have the power to crush, condemn, and tear down, or build up, bring comfort, and bless. Let me ask you a question. Have you been hurt by the words of others, and then years later, you still can recall what they said? Well, how do you overcome a critical and judgmental spirit? And we are going to discuss this tonight on your Home Group. And I want to hear your comments and questions. Guys, how do you overcome it? Have you witnessed? And we live in a society where everybody's got an opinion, mm-hmm. and everybody's judging everybody.
Yes.
Everybody's critical.
Especially with social
right?
media now.
Social media is a big player in that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because you can hear what everybody thinks or
right.
says.
Right. But they
some people think they're tweeting, and they're not tweeting. They're playing Angry Birds. They're
yes.
shooting. They're shooting bombs.
Darts.
At other people.
Yeah.
So can you recall something that happened years ago, but yet you still think about it, you still remember it?
Annette? I remember when I was in grade school, and I had a teacher, was the meanest teacher. Everybody did not want to get her name. With.
I had her.
She's dead. So her name was Miss Farah. She was the meanest thing, and I was so sweet. And so we were practicing a play, and I had this little glass basket. Well, somebody tripped me as we were walking down the, you know, practicing, walking down the aisle to get on the stage, and I dropped that blame
glass.
That glass bowl and broke it, and she nearly come unglued like I meant to throw. Do you know, I still remember that. I can still see her face when she scolded me, and I didn't say, well, he tripped me. I let him off the hook.
But I still remember
that incident with her.
So we say sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's a lie.
Stay with you. From then on, you got to be perfect.
Why is that? Why do words have the power to harm more than if somebody punched you in the nose? Why is that?
Words is what God used to create.
That's right. Mm.
God used words to create.
Yes.
And words do create, and we have that power to create.
Yes.
So therefore, we end up creating bad feelings in people.
Yeah.
By words, or we create good feelings in people, because by the same way you remember that lady, you also can probably remember something from grade school that was so good, that made you feel good, that you can still remember it now. And in both things are words.
Yeah. And do you know that was 72 years ago?
Wow.
72 years ago, I remember.
You're not 72.
I'm 71.
Jim?
Words are powerful. In the beginning was the word.
Mm-hmm.
Everything evolves around the word. Our whole fiber of being is based on the word. That's why words affect us so much. Words created the world. Everything, the dust, the planet, everything else was created by the word. So words are serious, especially faith-filled words.
Yeah.
God takes words serious, doesn't he?
Very.
He does.
Very.
Wow.
Isn't it interesting that as children we remember, because they're pivotal points of direction in our life.
Right.
So as a child, we remember our childhood, what words were spoken over us, because it was a pivotal moment.
Right.
And it shapes us. Those words can shape you. And then if you believe in that word, if you have faith in that word, then you grow up thinking and developing under that word.
Right.
Negative words seem to stick with you.
The negative words can stick with you. Hmm.
And the negative words is the words that we have to learn to cast down, send away.
Because you believe a lie, don't you?
Because you believed a lie.
We know a lady from years ago. She's skinny as a rail, but always saw herself as overweight based upon what something her mother said to her when she was little.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it still was impacting and controlling her life.
That's right.
It's dangerous.
Because we believe that, don't we?
Yeah.
All right, your questions and comments are starting to come up. Arturo says, for years I was very judgmental about people's weight. I heard the Lord for a long time telling me to get a hold of that and repent. I did not do it. I feel I've paid a heavy price for not heeding the Lord's instruction to rein it in. I thought it was funny, and it wasn't. It was not funny. Well, we've all done that.
Yeah.
We've all said things. I'll drive along in the car, because it seems like in your car, when you're by yourself, for some reason, your mind,
you think about it, it's open season.
You think
that's
about
good.
What is it with the car that you think about stuff?
Because nobody's around and you can just say whatever.
And you're just honest with yourself.
I'll think of something that somebody said to me, or I'll think of something I did, like Arturo. I think about where I was mean to somebody, or I didn't handle something right.
You have a whole situation played out.
And I have to literally do, and this will explain something to you that happens when I'm driving along. I'll just go, no, because what I'm doing is I'm killing that thought. I got to quit replaying that tape.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Because I'm not that guy. That guy didn't have this hair color.
Right.
That's right.
You know.
Yeah.
And if you won't give it voice, if you don't give it voice, it can die.
Right.
Fall to the ground void of power.
So that's how
you give it voice.
Now, the scripture says, take every thought captive. How do I do that?
And you need to do it out loud.
How do you do it?
Well, the key to anything like that is the Word of God. The Word will combat any negative word if you get in the Word. For example, if you're in the car, if you're listening to tapes of the Word of good, rich teaching, consuming yourself with the Word of God will overcome with the devil. You know those fiery darts that he tries to throw?
Yeah.
The Word will quench those fiery darts, because this is the answer.
Yep.
There is no other answer that can effectively help us overcome anything like that but this word
so
of God.
So you're talking about breaking the back of a mental attack.
Amen, yeah.
And so what I'm setting up right now is clip number one from Reverend David Crank. Mm. And he is a pastor, a couple of congregations, and he's on this network. He's on the Victory Channel. And so he says, you have the choice to what you think about. Being alone with your thoughts can cause you to be overwhelmed by your thoughts. Choose your thoughts wisely. Pastor David Crank, watch this.
Why are you down in the dumps? Why? It's a choice. You choose to continue down that path of not thinking about what you're thinking about. And I want you to write that down. Think about what you're thinking about. If you've, like myself, you've been driving down the road and all of a sudden you're aggravated and you're getting mad and there's nobody in the car, it was just you. Anybody ever had that happen? You were alone with your thoughts and your mind begins to wonder. Sometimes our mind's too little to wonder by itself, right? And so we get overwhelmed with thoughts. And I think that what I'm seeing happen a lot is that a lot of our joy is stolen by comparison. We compare our life to somebody else's.
Hmm. Wow, that's a key thing. Yeah. You're comparing.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
Your life to somebody else's.
Yes.
Or what you're experiencing compared to what you think they're experiencing. Because you don't know all their stuff.
No. That's right.
No. Nope.
They have struggles.
That lessens as you get older.
Absolutely.
Annette, I've missed you. Have I told you yet that I've missed you?
I have missed
and,
you.
And Dale is not with us. Dale, before you ask, we already had. Dale is teaching tonight.
Yes.
At church, so he misses all of you as well. We have information. If you're watching on Facebook, go ahead and type in your question, comment, and they'll send it right here to me. If you're watching us, if you have questions, text them. You can text on your phone, 682-302-1301, 682-302-1301, or you can email them at askhomegroup@govictory.com, askhomegroup@govictory.com. And they are coming in. Artie talks about, what about when people speak words of death and they don't even know it? Are we talking about a believer or an unbeliever?
Right. Or is
unbeliever he, does it all the time and
right.
has no clue.
They're living it. They're living
and,
it out.
And sometimes believers do it, but we still have to be careful not to be the Holy Ghost police.
Now, what do you mean by that, the Holy Ghost police? Or I call it the confession police, I think. Now, what are you talking about?
Well, it's like the confession police, but the Holy Ghost police, you decide now you're the Holy Ghost in that person's life, and you're going to correct everything that you never knew 5 years ago, but all of a sudden you know it now, and so now you're going to be the one that's going to tell everybody what they should say and not say.
You've made yourself revealer of truth.
Yeah. Ooh, yes. Yeah. See?
Well.
But it's not our job to correct others.
Give me an example.
It's not our job to correct us.
Yes, but
I'm not
like you said.
Correcting somebody else.
Okay, like we've heard Brother Copeland say, well, you know, we love God and don't talk about loving your car, loving your day. So as soon as people heard that, mm-hmm. Oh my goodness, I like it. Oh, I enjoy it. Okay, whatever. And this is, you know, everybody says.
How do you really feel about it?
How do I feel? Because all of a sudden now they were loving. They loved my hair. They loved my clothes. Now all of a sudden, and they're looking for words because they're trying to follow what they heard someone say that was right. But all of a sudden now they became, you know, they're the ones telling you what. And they keep tripping over their words and can't say anything right. And like he says, somebody's confessing death. Well, depends on how close you are to them. If it's right. If it's Annette, I'll go like, "Were you planning to die?" You know, I might say that to her because she and I could do that, but I might not say that to some. I could say anything to him; it wouldn't bother me. But I might be more careful about Michelle.
Oh well, thank you.
You know, something like that. But why would I just go? Because how you say something can actually not help them; it can hurt them, even though you're telling them the right thing.
Yeah,
that's absolutely true.
You could be saying the right thing and say it in such a way that you bring hurt. And it just happened to a friend of mine. She's lost weight and she put something on and it was, I guess it was form fitting. And someone in church said, even when I was thin, I wouldn't have worn that. Well, when you were thin, you probably didn't look good enough to wear it. See, that would have been my answer. Mm-hmm. Mm. But, you know, because I'm a fire it right back. No, we're not doing this
anymore. That's New York, the New York.
That's New York.
No, that's the being over 60, Cynthia. Yeah. Years ago would have probably affected me.
There is
and it
New
is
York
the New York in there, yeah. But it would have affected me.
I was born in Brooklyn, so
at this point. at this point, JT. Okay, at this point, I have a different. You can't tell me something like that now, because I'm gonna fix it. We're not even gonna take this any further. But why? You have to know how to say things to people. Yeah.
People say though that Christians in general, you hear this a lot in our society, that Christians are judgmental.
Well, you're absolutely right. Yeah. They are, but
aren't we supposed to judge the fruit?
Mm-hmm. You judge the fruits, but what if there's no fruits?
Okay, well, you're saying that
if you keep touching up on it,
you're groaning and you're leaning forward, ready to preach. So, about Christians? What about Christians being judgmental?
All right, Jim.
See, when you say judgmental, okay, that gives a connotation of condemnation.
It does.
Judgmental, but the word says we are to judge all things. Not necessarily to correct others, because we have the unction of the Holy One. He's always telling us that He's the judge. He's telling us stuff. That doesn't mean we're supposed to go out and correct everybody.
Amen.
But He will check us. Really, He's judging us, helping us walk the walk that we're supposed to walk in our thought lives and our actions and what have you. That's not to take that and use it to be everybody's police, because that's the judgmental part. I'm not to judge my brother.
See, here's what
our sister.
Thank you.
I'm choosing my words, Cynthia. It frustrates me. No, it angers me. Here's something that angers me. And I really believe it's a righteous anger.
I believe.
And there's a difference.
There is, yeah.
There is a righteous anger.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Let me help you with something. God's still angry.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's right.
But he's not angry in the way the world thinks that a lot of Christians think he's angry.
Right. Because he's all love.
Because of his holiness.
Love. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's a jealous God. He's jealous over us.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Anything that tries to separate you from who he really is, he gets angry about that.
Very much so.
So anyway, that's
good.
Well, you know, judge others, and this is a lesson we all have to learn. When you're judging somebody else, you be careful, because that same judgment's going to come back on you.
Yeah. Why is that?
Measure for measure.
That's right.
God set it up that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Measure for measure.
So whatever you sow.
Whatever you measure out, coming back to you.
That's a scripture. That's the word.
Sowing and a reaping.
Okay, so what about judging somebody for their hair color or the way they look at church?
No.
I'll give you an example.
It's jealousy.
Years ago,
or insecurity.
We had a minister from the Midwest at our church in California, and one guy and his wife and some other people came forward and gave their life to Jesus. And one of the prayer guys got up and went and stood with him. And he's a biker. He looks like a biker. He'd been in prison.
Yeah.
You know, tattoos and hair stuff. And he thought, look at that. That guy went up there too. And I'm like, no, he's... And then he said, and then I saw him praying for the other guy. I go, yeah, he's one of our prayer ministers.
Yeah.
But by his appearance...
He judged.
He thought, that man needs Jesus too.
Right.
I said, no, he's on fire for God. Yeah. So is this what we're talking about, that the world can't stand?
Yeah.
Yes?
Yes.
Yeah. No? Yeah.
Well, partially.
See, I grew up in Holiness Church, and holiness has nothing to do with clothes.
Except in that church.
No.
Holiness is an attribute of God. It's who
That's
he
right.
is. But it has nothing to do about his clothes
or
anything. Right. But we've made it that way.
Sure. Yes.
And I think that's the thing that you don't like.
Right.
And that's the thing that...
that's the thing we don't like.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so here's a question.
Okay, here we go.
They're starting to come in. Why? It seems like the world will amplify when one Christian turns on another, especially if they're famous. And we've seen it lately.
Mm-hmm.
We saw it concerning Beth Moore with a minister... said something that I disagree with, and you know that she shouldn't be preaching and all this. But here's Monique. Monique, here's your question. What about all these Christians judging Kanye West? If you don't know who Kanye West, what? Did I hit a nerve?
No, I came prepared. I've been waiting for that. Waiting for it.
Well, there it is.
I found an article.
So if you don't know who Kanye West is, tell us who Kanye is.
So Kanye West is... For years, you know, isn't he married to one of the Kardashians?
Yes.
Okay, so you know, he's been having mental problems. He had all kinds of issues. And over the last year, he's been moving conservative.
Right.
And then he became Christian.
Right.
And, of course, here we go. I was on Elijah List today, and there was an article. And what should Christians say? Respond to Jesus is King, this album that he just put out.
He's a rap artist, famous Christian rap artist. That made a Christian album.
He made a Christian
called
album.
Called Jesus is King. Mm-hmm.
And I understand he's changed the words on a lot of his songs and changed it around. He said because God got him out of the mental institution and the problems that he was having. So right away, they had this thing on this weekend. And it was one title, one song, his song, Hands On, and the words say, I guess it means fixing to, because I'm not from the South, so I'm fitting to do a gospel album. What have you been hearing from the Christians? They'll be the first one to judge me. Make it feel like nobody loved me. Told people God was my mission. What have you been hearing from the Christians? They'll be the first one to judge me.
These are the lyrics to the song.
And the person writing this article said, these lyrics, unfortunately, proved to be true. This past weekend, I've seen countless tweets, Facebook and YouTube comments, magazines and newspaper articles and blogs that have something to say about Kanye West and his newfound faith. Most of these words are either criticizing or doubting West's intentions, and many of those come from within the church. This angers me because this man has come to God, and all of a sudden, us established Christians think we should have something to say about it. Like, you weren't a new Christian at one time. Yeah. and you still don't have it all together.
If that's the case, we would do that to Saul, who became Paul.
Well, this article goes on to say that. It says, Kanye's faith is not the first that the church has questioned.
Right.
Look at the Saul's conversion. Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man.
Yes.
How much harm he has done to your saints. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call in the name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine. Go ahead to bear my name and all of that. So that's not the only one. Jesus called Matthew. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Matthew from the tax collector's booth said, follow me. Matthew got up and followed him. So he's having dinner at his house, and the tax collectors and the sinners came and ate. And what do the Pharisees say? Why does your teacher eat with the tax collectors and sinners? Okay. Jesus said, not the healthy that need a doctor, it's the sick.
Come on.
So Kanye West, now a friend of mine called me from New York. Her niece called her. Now her niece, who had lived with her for a little while, and every time she'd invited to church, even though she grew up in the church, she'd been through college, she had all these other answers. She didn't want to go to church with her. She barely wanted to pray with her. But she heard this album over the weekend, called her aunt, said, have you heard Kanye West's album? My friend said, I haven't heard my niece talk about Jesus in years. Mm. So what do we have to say about this man? Because he don't have it all together yet?
He's a baby.
Well, that's right. He's a baby.
Baby Christian.
But he's going to pull in a lot of these young people, these millennials, that you and I can't, and you and I can't, because right. they can't relate to us because we're too old. They think we don't know anything, even though we know more than them. but they don't know that we were like that. In the 70s.
It's bad or worse.
Or worse.
Been there.
But they can't see that.
See me?
But they got this guy that they can identify with.
That's right.
And watch and see. And they've been telling us revival's not going to happen the way we think.
That's right. That's right.
It's not going to happen the way we think. Right. It's going to be people like Kanye with the tattoos, with the everything, with that guy that came up and prayed.
And here's the thing. I've been studying this out, and I asked some people about this. Every revival, every move had a sound.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes.
Had a song.
Mm. Had a song.
In the tent meetings, it was a different type of music.
Right.
Yeah.
In the charismatic renewal, it was a different music. Mm-hmm. In the Jesus movement, had their own music.
Yeah. That's right.
And I'm beginning to believe that this revival has its own sound.
Has its own sound. Yes.
Yes.
You're a worshiper. You're a singer.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And it will have its own sound. It will. Because when you listen to this album, he got some good singers. He got good players. He ain't got your church choir. No. It's not church choir that everybody come up and sing because bless the Lord, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And you got to find a place to put them in the choir because they can't sing.
Right.
But they got these people that can sing. And they are, I mean, good voices, good musicians.
Yeah, right.
On point.
Spirit of excellence.
So what are they really carrying on about? They're jealous.
Right.
It's jealousy and it's envy.
God's Kanye, we love you. I tell you right now, I love you. I support you. I believe in you. I love you.
Well, people not
I'm an older person, but even I love him.
Amen. You love it.
I just love to see these people get saved.
Amen.
That's it. Shouldn't we all be
because
rejoicing?
They have a voice
right. Yeah. Yes.
That we can't, we don't
well,
have
the angels it. Rejoiced.
We're yeah. rejoicing yes, over this. Lord, this, yes. is, this is good news. This is,
but truly, yeah. when you get saved, you become a new creature.
Creation. Yes.
You're not yeah. the yeah. same.
Mm-hmm. Right. Spiritually.
I can attest to that. Yeah. So spiritually.
Yeah.
Because I was
now, the outside
dude.
Of you didn't change.
No, I didn't change the outside. But inside, mm-hmm. I was told, I went from one thing to 180
yes.
degree change instantly.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The moment I got saved,
absolutely.
I raised my hand for prayer, and it was like somebody took a fire hose, I'll never forget this, and turned it on full speed from my stomach, and it hit my head, and it went out to the tip of my fingers. And I tell you what, I was totally different. Now, I was a hard-nosed guy. I mean, I had almost got in a fight with a mafia guy one time. Okay, that's how
you,
out
you
there
had,
I was.
You had nerve.
Really, I didn't
you
know the guy was a mafia. He was a hitman. I didn't know that.
Okay? Oh, Lord.
Had I known that.
God was
and I was scared to death. I found out who we were. But anyway, but I didn't care about anything. Okay, I went down to get prayed for, and I'm crying like a baby. That wasn't me. You know, the old chili. I became a new creature. Now, did all my habits change overnight? No. You have to walk that part out. But my spirit man, I knew he was different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I started witnessing to all my friends around me. And I had some bad friends, you know, and I got most of them saved.
Mm. Yeah.
Because you just have this new relationship that's better than anything you could ever imagine. And you're so excited about it that you can't help from talking about it.
That's right.
When you really get saved, people will know it.
Yeah. When I got born again in 1975, I got born again and I smoked. And I really didn't want to smoke. But it took me some time to lay cigarettes down. I was addicted.
Yeah.
So it takes time for you to drop that off. And I was so determined to quit that I'd tear them up. But by the time I got home from church, I was taping them back together. But really, are you
trust
desperate?
Me, yeah.
Did you do that?
Oh, yeah, I did that.
I threw more cigarettes
though.
I thought, this is money. But we were military, and cigarettes didn't cost much. So I could afford to,
buy more.
Right. When you pay 17 cents for a pack of cigarettes, it costs everybody else a dollar. Well, you could afford to leave them, but I didn't do it because it was the last pack I had.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking after them trying. But I finally got born. I finally saw where I
could be free.
People from that church came and prayed for me.
Yeah.
And they said, is there anything we can pray? I said, I'd like to quit smoking. Mm. They gathered around me, the Assembly of God Church. Uh-huh. They gathered around me. They said, they were pleading the blood of Jesus over me that the taste of the cigarettes would drop right off of me. I never had another cigarette after that.
Praise
now, what happened? I believed.
That's you right. believed.
That's I believed
right.
that, and I was freed.
Mm-hmm.
So the key is to believe that's the right. report of the Lord, and thou shalt be free.
That's praise
right.
God.
That's right. All right, I want to go to clip six here. This is Kelly and Gloria Copeland. If you're living the separated life, you begin to judge people who aren't like you. And everything we know by the grace of God. She's going to explain it better than I can introduce it. Watch Kelly.
Well, you know, I'm living my separated life. I'm a Baptist. I'm a this. Well, I'm a this. Whatever that is not, I am born again and Jesus is my Savior. Those are our real credentials. And of course, we appreciate the things that we know. But we don't live our life from the power of that place. Because what happens is it makes you judgmental. You begin living your separated life as whatever class of person you are. You begin to judge other people that aren't like you. You know, recently, Mom, and all of this speaks of grace. Recently, the Lord really, he was talking to me about not being judgmental and talking to me about grace. And he said, this way I heard it, everything that I know that I might think, I'm so glad I know that about the Lord, or I'm so glad I know that about the Word, or I'm so glad I know this truth, whatever it is, about raising kids or about preaching or about being kind or being loving or how I might handle things. And even the things I've learned in the last few years, I feel like I've learned more in the last 3 or 4 years than I learned in 50 years. But everything that I know is that's good is by the grace of God. If I know it and it's something that's helpful and good to me, then it's because of the grace of God. He taught it. He opened my eyes to it. He showed it to me. So if I get caught up in the in my own knowing of it, instead of the grace of God of it, then it allows me to become judgmental of somebody else that's not walking in what I know. But if the grace of God showed me what I know, then one of the biggest reasons for it, other than the fact that he loves me, one of the biggest reasons he shows me something is so I can show it to somebody else. Not just like, not in a finger wagging way, but to be able to be the open book of grace that his Holy Spirit was to me, or maybe another preacher was to me, an open book. Maybe it was you. You've shown me so much of the grace of God. I learned much from you, but you didn't judge me. You just stuck with me all these many years. And so if I know something, it is not only the grace of God for me, it's the grace of God in me for you. If it's something you don't know. Well, it's so hard to be judgmental and have that attitude about stuff because you realize that only by the grace of God do I know it.
Absolutely.
So having that attitude in your mind really does set you free from being judgmental, but having the mindset of your credentials and what you accomplish totally sets you up to be judgmental of somebody else because you've forgotten who you got that from.
The grace of God. You got to keep that before you at all times and knowing who you are. Welcome to your home group. My name is Greg Stevens. We're having a whole nother church service over here to my right. I don't know what they're talking about, and I'm a little concerned about it. But listen, I want to invite you into the conversation. I have an iPad right here in front of me. If you're on Facebook, just type in your question live to us, and I'll get it. Or ask homegroup@govictory.com, or you can text your question to 682-302-1301. 682-302-1301. We want you to be part of this. Tonight, we're talking about judgmental, critical spirits and thoughts and things like that. I want to go around the room again. My wife, Michelle, is right here.
Hello.
Cynthia, who's tickled about something. You know, I've learned something. Annette is back with us. Welcome, Annette.
So glad to
Annette and Cynthia together might be what's happening.
Yeah. That's
I told them to shut up.
Oh, did you? Jim.
She told me.
I even told Jim to shut up.
I've lost control.
You've lost it.
I'm just absolutely.
Over here we have Jim Talbert.
Jim is with us.
Here I am.
And then Dale, you did join us.
Hey, good to see you guys.
So you couldn't stay away.
Good to see you. If and Piff together.
They wanted to separate us last time.
That's what I hear.
All right, we got a few minutes left. Listen, here's a text that came in. I've heard people criticize churches that dress casual. Is it wrong to wear jeans to church? No. Dale, welcome to the panel.
Yeah, it's good to be back.
Hit it. You got it.
I got it. God looks at the heart.
Amen.
God looks at the heart. He doesn't look at the outward appearance of men.
Yeah, but we're supposed to dress in our best to impress. That's not it. That's business.
No.
We're supposed to. What is it?
You want to look your best.
You do want to
look. Because it's honor.
Well, I had kind of a situation a long time ago. I used to save all my good clothes for my business. And I met a gentleman who's strong believer, and I was very saved back then and called myself a devout Christian, what have you. And he said something to me that really changed my attitude. He said, I wear my best clothes to church because I want to honor the Lord.
That's good.
And I thought, wow, put your best foot forward for the Lord. Now, I don't care what you can come in with.
So you're saying don't judge poverty jeans, whatever.
You know, you come in whatever. I'm not going to judge you.
Yeah.
But as far as me personally,
right.
I want to put my best foot forward for the Lord. I'm representing Him.
Right.
So that's
right.
Just kind of, you know,
But you grew into that.
I did.
That is something you grew into.
Yeah, I didn't start off that way.
Yeah.
And that came from your heart.
It came from my heart.
That didn't come from a position of
pride.
Let me put it this way. Having been a pastor, if a cowboy from Wyoming went to Brooklyn to pastor, and he wanted everybody to wear boots and big belt buckles and all that, how successful is his church going to be?
Not very, because people would leave.
Okay, so here's...
Because I don't care where you go to,
we're in Brooklyn, and we can only sing Southern gospel music and only wear cowboy boots.
Yeah. Okay,
and hats.
Not going to go.
Now...
There's a few people. You get a few people that do it, but you're not going to have a big crowd.
Likewise, conversely, we take somebody from the Bronx or Brooklyn, and I stick them out in the middle of Wyoming or Montana.
Mm-hmm. And we go dressed.
Right. Yeah. And it's a lot of it is culture.
It is.
Right. Yes. It is. Yeah. Absolutely.
And all of that.
Well, when I moved here, it was culture. Because when I started singing here, first of all, I think I had one pair of jeans. Because the church I came from, they considered me in leadership because I directed the choir and everything. We were not allowed to wear pants in service. Mm-hmm. And pants could be worn by anybody else, but if I was in leadership, I couldn't. The job I worked, I wore dresses or I wore suits or whatever. So coming down here, everybody said, "Why are you so dressed?" And I thought, "What do you mean? I didn't think I was so dressed."
This is a different mindset everywhere you go.
Yeah, you have to learn how to assimilate into the culture. Mm-hmm. I am not ever totally assimilated into anything, because this is the way I look, okay? So, but I have to understand, I'm not going to condemn somebody because they come to church in jeans.
Right.
But if that same person now decides they're going out with their friends and they dress to the nines, then I have to, I'm still not going to say anything, but why are you not giving God the better? Mm-hmm. Because I know when I used to go out clubbing, I wore some good stuff. I wore good clothes. But, but the way I was raised, because my dad was a pastor, so the way I was raised, I had to dress proper. I had to dress what we called properly. All right, we had Sunday clothes. We had play clothes. Yeah. We had school clothes.
Exactly right.
That's what we had. So I grew up that way. Yeah. I don't condemn anyone for coming to church the way they come to church.
No.
But I'm going to come to church. I'm going to be dressed.
Well, if you do that, then you're going to limit who gets to come
to
church.
Who gets to come.
Right.
And why are we doing that? Why are we limiting?
And herein is the problem, because a lot of times we'll have babies. When I say babies, they're adults, but they're new Christians.
Yeah. Christians, right.
And they're still learning. They've got a holy place on the inside of them now.
Sure.
But they're still learning
this
new experience that they've experienced.
Exactly.
And this hasn't changed.
Right.
Jesus condemns the religious, but he says, you'll wash the outside of the cup.
Yes.
And leave the inside completely dirty. Yeah. The appearance is all what matters to you.
Right. Yes.
But God looks at the heart. And we experience that in California a lot. I mean, as new believers, you know, we'll get a new believer in there, and then you want to try to change them to look like Cynthia or Annette or somebody else. I mean, you experience that as a new believer.
I did, yeah. They thought I was a prostitute when I went to a girl. I went to a college group, and that's what they called me. And a lot of that was their insecurity.
Yes.
And I had confidence to wear what I was wearing.
Sure, right.
But I wasn't yet grown to a place of knowing that the inside I was changing.
Sure.
What could that have done? That could have run you.
Oh, yeah. Had the Holy Spirit not sent somebody to me to say, "You're just fine.
Yeah.
You're okay."
Right.
That could have devastated me and turned me completely off of church.
And I've seen it happen.
So
you talk about making God angry.
And that goes back to the Kanye thing. We've got to not let that happen.
Don't let that happen with him.
Right. You talk about making God angry. That's a way to make him angry.
Right.
Because he wants to get people in and train them and love them.
Here's
he loves
thing.
All people.
We don't know where people come from.
Right.
You
right.
have no clue where people are coming from.
Right. Absolutely.
And how dare you judge
how
somebody
dare you.
Coming from...
Oh.
I'm serious.
You don't like being judged.
What God knows what they've been
mad.
Through.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's He's the, word, the one that knows.
What's the word judgment means is to separate. This is this color, that's that color, and we maximize or increase our differences instead of looking at what we have similar to each other.
You didn't like that.
And that's the love of God toward each other. My mom would always teach me this about judgment. She said, a perfect man offends not. That's what Paul said. Mm-hmm. A perfect man is able to get along with everybody.
That's right.
So we find the things that are common with each one of us so that
we
can get together.
What's common with us?
with us? Well, it should be the love of God toward each other.
Amen.
It should be what the Christ in you, the Christ in me. And then the other things are interests. You know, I like cars, you like cars, you know, you don't like cars, you like to hunt. And then you find those common grounds in those areas.
Right.
But our most common ground is that we are born again and we love each other and celebrate differences of each other.
Right.
I mean, God never made any person the same.
That's right.
And he's not going to start.
That's right.
Well, even his disciples were all different.
Yes.
All the disciples had different things. They all came from different places.
Right.
They all
different
came
background.
From different backgrounds.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they all brought something.
Yes.
But discipleship is what's missing. We go straight to judgment and expect people to grow up. And yet Jesus spent 3 years in and out with
That's
these
good.
People. All
yeah.
of them.
Yeah. Right.
They were all
ate
different.
With them. He slept with them. He was with them.
It takes
them.
An investment, doesn't it?
It does.
That's what
yes.
we're missing.
Oh,
exactly.
value.
Of an investment. Of
yes,
it.
Value.
Jesus meets a woman at the well.
Right.
He's tired. He's hungry.
Yeah.
She played 3 cards on him
mm-hmm.
when he went to talk to him. Because she's out there because women like her don't go at the other time that women go mm-hmm. to.
Right.
So she plays that you're not here. You don't have anything to draw water from. You don't want water. Water's not what you want. You want something else.
Mm-hmm.
So she played the sexual card on
him.
Then she played the race card on him.
Mm-hmm.
You're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. You pray here. We pray there. And then she played the religion card on him. That's the Jew-Samaritan religion deal. But then she played the race card. You're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan.
Right. Right.
She played all 3 of those cards on him.
Yeah.
He restored her.
Mm.
And then it says in the scripture, the disciples showed up. She went back to town, said, I met a man. They're like, well, duh. But he goes back to town.
She says, I met the man.
Yeah. And he stayed 2 days.
That's right.
In that town,
and
restoring her.
Yes.
Because of
her. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's what we miss, isn't it?
Right.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
Loving people.
You know, there was, I guess it was late 70s. There was this girl. She turned out to be a really good Christian star. She's dead now. A singer, I don't remember her name, but she was at Brother Hagin's meeting. Somebody had brought her. She came in short shorts and a halter top to Brother Hagin's meeting, and whoever brought her, they brought her right down front. Do you know that girl was marvelously saved?
Mm-hmm.
What's her name? She.
I don't know.
I'm trying to think.
You know her name.
I don't. Sorry.
Anyway.
Well, it'll bring it to us.
I can't think of her name. Brother Copeland sang some of her songs. What?
Oh.
Janie?
What was the song? What was it? Cast Your Bread Upon the Water?
Yeah, Janie. Janie.
Jenny Grimes.
Jenny.
She came to church with shorts. Talking about short shorts.
Yes.
And a halter top.
Mm-hmm.
Brother Hagin didn't ask her to leave.
Didn't ask her to leave.
You know what I learned from him? I did not learn faith from him. I learned love from him.
That's
what
I learned.
Okay, please keep them coming. Your questions, your texts, Facebook, type them right in. The information will be right there on the screen. There it is on how you can do that. Here's a text, and thank you for your honesty. I struggle with judgmental thoughts. However, I often remember Kenneth Copeland saying that the Lord told him the biggest problem in the body of Christ is our determination to correct one another. This helps me mind my own business.
Yes.
Their errors are not my business.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, so here's Carol. How do I handle hurtful criticism from close family members?
Know who you are in Christ.
That's right.
Well, you got to have faith in it.
Yeah.
Sometimes we say, here's the word, believe the word, or, you know, read the word will change you. But you have to have faith in the word.
That's right.
When you have faith in what God says about you, when you have faith about you are his beloved, that you are his chosen, when you have faith in that, and you have to tell yourself that out loud, as she said, you've got to speak it out. You've got to recreate that even in the environment. That's when you begin to change. That's when you see
who you are. So Elena added to what you just said here. She says, to overcome judging evil words toward me, I remind, don't break the table.
Okay.
I remind myself to my identity in Christ. I don't identify myself to what was said to me.
That's right. Good.
But your identity. But that's a growing thing.
When it's from family, it tends to hurt more.
It does.
Okay.
You know, when it's from family.
Because
then you almost, they know me and they...
Yeah, they know you.
You know, sometimes family's wrong.
A lot of times.
The most.
A lot of times. Jesus' brothers were wrong.
That's right.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
When Jesus went to,
my brother.
When he went to his hometown, who had all, who did all the talking?
Right.
Everybody in town went, that Jesus, that's Mary's boy.
Yeah.
He coming in here now, he's a pastor, going to pray for people.
Right.
Who's
yeah.
he? And, you, and y'all know about when he was born. We're not sure about Joseph. You know, you, his people are the same today as they were then.
Nothing
just
yet.
Because the Bible is written in thee and thou doesn't mean those people were nicer.
That's true.
They yapped their mouth off to over there in Nazareth. Yeah. They talked about him. They talked about Mary because you know she was pregnant before
they
got married.
And his brothers heard that.
And yes.
They did.
Right. That had to be tough.
Grew up with that.
They thought he was mentally ill.
They did.
They really thought he was.
They did, huh?
They did. His brothers
they all
did.
Went
his brothers
and,
did, yeah.
and brought him out and said, we need to have a chat with you.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, wait.
We got to have a chat with you.
Yeah, please sit down. Shut up.
It's damaging when people ruin your reputation, right?
Right.
Or they say something about you. Then the rest of the crowd that you're influencing won't listen to you. You've caused a big riff. So it's best not to speak against others, because you don't want to ruin. You know, I like Jim.
We,
you know
we started
about Jim.
You weren't here earlier, but we started about it. God takes it very serious about what people say in words.
Yes.
And if you study Judaism,
right,
the evil tongue
right.
is a big thing.
Big thing.
Right. It's it ruining someone's reputation.
Is right. huge
because you can't get that back.
No.
Right.
Right.
Once if you know if I say something,
evil sows discord amongst the brethren.
So if I say Benedict Arnold here in the United States,
you know
what do you think of? He's a traitor.
Traitor. Right.
If I say Osama bin Laden,
right.
What
right.
do you think of?
They're terrorists.
Well, if I say Billy Graham,
and you think evangelist.
So their name alone carries their reputation.
Right.
So if you injure someone's name,
right.
You're injuring not just them, but their children and everything else.
That's one thing I've really admired about Brother Copeland, is that he doesn't speak any evil about anyone.
That's anyone. Right.
I mean, he doesn't lay his tongue on it. It's a great example for me.
It is. For me, too.
You know?
Yeah.
I worked in prayer for years, and we had a segment that he wrote that he will not touch another man's gift.
Mm.
You know what? In 40 years, I've never seen him do it.
He won't do it.
Never seen him do it.
It's amazing.
Wow. Yeah.
Praise God.
He ingrained that in his thought life.
Yes, he did. Mm-hmm.
And then that became the driving force. I want to play clip number two. Your thoughts draw things to you. Think on things that are true. Here is the one and only Pastor Bill Winston. Bill.
The thinking is the thing. He said in Proverbs 23:7, as a man what? Thinketh in his heart, so is it. See? Now that thinking there is continuum. See, what you dwell on, what you think and stay with in your thought life, so is he. He becomes or he ends up in that place. Do you realize that your thoughts are so powerful till they draw stuff to you? Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Look, he says, manage your mind. He says, listen, here's what I want you to think on. He said, think on whatsoever things are true. Look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Forasmuch then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part in the same. Talking about Jesus. That through death he might destroy him that had the had past tense, the power of death, that is the devil. Watch this. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to what? Bondage. So Satan has no longer power over a believer. None. He had power before Jesus came. But once Jesus came, he said, all power is given to me, both in heaven and in earth. Now, I'm going to delegate it to you. Now you go. That's why the church is so powerful, man. He said, resist the devil. And he might flee. No. Who said that? God said it. God said, you resist him and he will flee. So I got to resist sickness. I got to resist the temptation to say something mean. I got to resist. He said, submit yourself, therefore, to God.
And the devil will flee from you. Yes, thank you, Bill Winston. Listen, every time I see something negative on the news about Chicago, and there's a lot of it, I always think Bill Winston's there.
Amen.
Amen.
His church is there.
That's right.
Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Making an impact.
It's going to be all right.
Chicago is going to be all right. Amen. Bill Winston's there. Okay, we are taking your questions, thoughts. Listen, I also want to ask you one thing. The information's on the screen, how you can get a hold of us. Facebook, just type it in, 682-302-1301, if you're texting, or you can email the questions. I also want to know what topics you, tonight's a topic you wanted, what topics you would like us to talk about, because we want to address this. We want you to be part of this. Okay, here's some that came in. Get to as many as we can here. Let's see. Georgette says, 1 Corinthians says, judge all things, not people. That's true.
That's true.
Matthew 7 says, but to judge people later in the chapter, it says to judge the fruit of the prophet. Right. Then we know if they are a true prophet.
Right.
God is the only judge. Right. We agree with that.
That's right. Right.
Here's a text. How do I deal with judgment toward yourself from yourself?
That's
love yourself.
What Michelle said.
Yeah.
What? Michelle answered that already, that you have to know who you are.
Yeah.
That's right.
If you won't judge yourself badly, if you have your identity right.
The Bible says,
what did God say?
God
says, what did God say about you?
Be not judged.
Okay, Artie wants to know, how can adults help kids that have been wounded by cruel words spoken by parents?
How
can adults help kids that have been wounded by cruel words spoken by parents?
Those words have to be replaced.
They
have to be replaced with truth. You have to sow different. You can't, you're going to keep bringing up bad seed if you keep bad seed in it. So you have to now sow good seed. And the good seed is the word. And put that word in there. And sometimes you have to tell kids, your parents did that because they were hurting.
Right. Hurt people.
They hurt people.
That's,
so you
that's
have
true.
To let them know that you're okay, but you're going to have to take it and do it with the word. Again, it's always with the word.
Right.
Because the word is going to be the thing that's going to override the bad.
The way I override that in my life, right, is I see the value that the Lord placed on me.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. So this person judged me. Mm-hmm. Thus, they never died for me.
Amen.
They never died for me.
That's right.
So I look at God Himself and I say, what did it take to reclaim me?
Mm. Amen.
It took His Son.
Praise God.
I look at it as equal value.
Yeah.
Right? Because He has placed us with Christ. So I could say it took a God to die to get a son of God.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to look at yourself. You got to look at yourself like you're valuable. And you're going to get that from seeing Christ. And you're going to get that from seeing God, what He did for you.
Absolutely.
Okay?
Let me give you another one here. This is a text question. I want to get to as many as we can. We've got about 5 minutes, left.
Yeah.
How do I, as a Christian, address a friend who says he is a Christian about gossip without seeming to be judgmental?
You want my answer, Greg?
Okay, let's get your answer, Dale. What's Dale's? I can see you. I can feel you over there.
I always ask him, I go, what do you say about me when I'm not around? And they pretty much get the idea that, you know, if you're talking about them, you're probably talking about me.
Yeah.
So maybe we should drop the subject.
Well, what did Mark Hankins say? His mother would always start singing, let's talk about Jesus.
Yeah.
And
you change the whole
to change
tone,
that
right?
whole thing around.
Right. Yeah.
But I'm going to address something that we didn't bring up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I am. Uh-oh. I am, because we only got 4 minutes.
You're so calling an audible.
Oh, yeah.
I
know you got more than, but you skipped one. So here's the deal. Yes, the N word is a bad word. It's a bad word.
Well, let me set this up then.
Set it up.
We had a question that came in, and I was going on. I don't want you to just jump in there without any.
Okay.
Let me pick those people back up that just fell out of their chair. Sometimes you have a little tap.
Right.
All right. We had a question talking about words and things that people could say, and it was okay for some people to say things, and they gave the example of
the N word.
Somebody being able to say that, yet I wouldn't be able to say that, or they wouldn't be able to say that.
Absolutely.
And judging that kind of thing. So that's how it sets up.
That's
what came in. Go.
So the N-word is it's a bad word. It's a derogatory word.
Very derogatory.
And it's a derogatory word even used amongst people of the same color. I guess I grew up in the era of Martin Luther King, mm-hmm. and he fought for a lot. So why do we, and see, I'm not even talking about other races using the word. I talk about my race using the word. Why do we use it in songs? And why do we call our women bad words in songs?
Right.
And all of that. All of that is derogatory, and it's just the same thing that we're talking about. We've come to this place where we think it's okay to rap about our women and say bad things about our women, call each other those words, and it's not. It's not. So I'm not talking to the other people. I'm talking to these people. It's not a good idea. It's just not. Why would we? I think that man fought so much for our rights, only for us to turn around now and use the same words that he got, you know, in trouble and run down and dogs after him. And now we don't want it. Now we want to go back. Why do we want to go back? And why do we want to take a word that somebody else used that was negative towards us and then use it amongst ourselves?
You
got a thought on this? Because I don't have any thoughts on this.
I don't either.
Whatsoever.
It's satanic base. It's demonic base. Yeah.
Okay. Yes,
the devil is root of all of that.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And if anytime he can get his culture in and make it acceptable, whether it's within a group or outside the group, he's winning, because that's what he wants to do. He wants to deteriorate the things that God has put together.
So we can't yield our tongue to him at any time.
Right.
See, I knew you'd fix it, Father Jim.
No, that's good. She set it up.
It's demeaning.
Yeah.
It's just simply demeaning.
It's very demeaning.
Okay.
It's one of the worst things you can say about a black person.
Here's a text real quickly. We seriously have a minute. When you have a new pastor who's younger than your retired pastor, he dresses in jeans and his shirt's untucked. He's really relaxed. As jokes sarcastically from the pulpit, people are saying we need to reach those who would be relaxed with this culture. Is that dumbing down the body? I don't think so.
No.
He's young, and that's okay.
Yeah, because he's reaching people.
He's going to reach people.
Right.
I put it this way.
Right.
My Sunday morning service at 11, that second service that we had, mm-hmm. that was the showroom of the car. When you go into the showroom of the car, you don't get under the hood. It's nice. They give you stuff. When I go buy the car and I take it back for service, I take it to the service department,
not
the showroom.
Good analogy.
So just realize that. Quick. This went by fast.
It went by really fast.
Speak the truth in love.
Amen.
And you'll be fine, right?
Yeah.
Judge yourself.
Yeah.
All right, final thoughts. Right. No matter what's going on, you have the amazing ability to completely transform every situation by speaking God's word over your life. Form your thoughts on the word of God, and you will form thoughts of faith.
Yes. Yes.
Stay in the grace and love of God. Resist the devil,
Winston said, and he
will flee from you.
Has to.
And you can be free from being judgmental. If you have any questions, please call and text them. We want to know. We love hearing from you. We will begin. See you next week. And next week's going to be very, very interesting. We're going to be talking about a financial revolution.
Praise God.
So you won't want to miss any of that. Guys, what do you think? All's good?
Yeah. All's good.
Love every one of you.
Amen.
Draw near to God, He'll draw near to you.
Draw near to God, Amen. He will draw near to you.
Yes, He will.
November the 20th, we will be live at Eagle Mountain Church. Very special guest. You won't want to miss it. Just circle it on your calendar right now.
That's a good day.
Right now, know this. God loves you.
Yes.
And we love you.
And Jesus is Lord.
We will see you next week.
Love you. See you later.